Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with my two very intellectual gardeners.
One intellectual gardener.
Yeah,
we're both pointing at each other.
All right. Well, none of us. How about that? Stump the chumps. My two chumps. It's Lance and Lulu. Hello and welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Good evening.
All right, another Tuesday, and I'm here for your calls, and love it when everybody calls in and joins the conversation. So 527-486-8186, KVNF Now. We had a lot of emails last week. It's worm@kvnf.org, and we're going to start off the show with another email this week. And this one is from Leisha, and Leisha listens over in Larimer County on the Front Range. So. She must get that little podcast on kvnf.org or stream it there. And in mid-June, she had hailstorm and roof damage come through, and it completely shredded also her garlic tops. So, yeah, nasty hailstorm. The area was bare. She harvested her garlic last week and noticed that the skins had not formed around the garlic cloves. Is this because the tops were shredded in mid-June? Will the garlic still cure dry without the skins? She has them in a cardboard box in her basement.
Yeah. Well, they'll still cure. They're just not going to store.
Oh, not going to store.
That's my suspicion. They don't have all the wrapper skins around the whole bulb.
Right. There's nothing to protect it or keep it from drying out totally. So,
cure versus store. Help me out.
Well, you got to cure. Garlic. In other words, you gotta let it dry out, all the skins.
Okay.
And then you put it in a box or in storage. Mm-hmm. And
right, but if you don't have any skins.
You don't have any skins. But if you take garlic and just harvest and put it in a box and put it in your basement, it's going to get mildewy.
Okay. Not a good storage thing.
But anyways, my thought on it is that she needs to, she can save as much as possible if she wants. But I would process it.
That's what I would.
Yeah,
that's what I would
go,
do.
Right?
Process it in some manner. Put it in the freezer. You know, would put it cloves in olive oil, different things like that.
Slice it and dry it. If you have a food processor, you can throw it, dry it first, and then grind it up. Make
garlic powder. Yeah,
mm-hmm. All kinds of great stuff.
Yeah.
Set aside what you want.
Get on it right away.
Yeah, and set aside what you want to plant out next year or in the fall. It will store till then.
Okay, so you get some of them to plant for next year.
Yeah, because
so it's not at all a loss. There's all kinds of great stuff.
You're still going to eat it. I mean,
it's not going to store for fresh garlic in February.
Right.
Yeah, who gets fresh garlic in February anyway besides you? Nobody. I'm always trying to stash my garlic. No, I think you're going to be fine. Just do something with it right now.
Yeah, do something with it.
Yeah. Okay.
Make it into food.
All right, and thanks for listening over there in the Front Range, Leisha.
That's amazing, right?
That's awesome, huh?
I know. Well, good. No wonder. That's why she got the big hailstorm. She got shredded.
She did. Shredded garlic.
Yeah.
That's a dish.
Okay.
527-486-8186 KVNF Now. Lance, you mentioned earlier that you are sorting your garlic. Where are you in the garlic season?
I am sorting. I've sorted the one variety for I set aside 80 to 90 bulbs for seed, and the rest is to be eaten or sold. And I'm in the second variety, the Turkish red.
Oh, okay.
Or red turkey. I'm not sure what it is.
How many varieties did you have?
I had five, and one I totally got rid of. Mm. And it just doesn't store well in our place. So I just, it's not that it doesn't taste good or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't store well. In fact, 2 weeks ago when I was sorting through it, there was already rotten ones.
Oh, that.
Yeah, forget it.
It's
right,
out of here.
Right.
Yeah,
that's what you're looking for.
You're done.
And then I've got two new ones, and I'll save all of those for seed, which is Georgian crystal, which is a porcelain, type of, that means all big cloves, maybe 4 to 5. And then there's Italian white.
You're saving all of those because you don't have that
variety. I only
variety
had a pound of each one to plant out.
Okay.
You know, that's a good thing to mention, too. If you're going to be growing garlic for the first time, buy small amounts of a lot of different varieties and figure out what you want. Because they all have such different attitudes. I mean, some of them peel real easy. Some of them store easy. Some of them are hot. Some of them are really mild.
Sure.
And some have lots of smaller cloves.
Yeah.
And some, like the porcelains, have nothing but big cloves. So what do you want?
So what
do you
want?
Do you want?
And
yeah.
Soft necks and hard necks.
That's great advice, Lou. I like that.
Yeah. So get on with your garlic thing and
your
figure out
down
what you want. Me, I just do Letty's garlic. That was the one that came with the house.
Oh, and that would be Letty's place.
Yeah. Well adapted to that yard.
Yeah, it's
right.
Well adapted.
Right.
Right.
Loves it there.
And it's a great little garlic. So it's kind of purpley looking. It's probably, what do you call it, Spanish, Egyptian walking.
Oh.
It's red or whatever.
Okay, it's a Roja.
It's a Roja for sure, yeah.
All right. This is the night for some good calls. We have a call from Asheville, North Carolina. It is Hope out there just east of Asheville.
Hi, Hope. How are you?
Hi, Lulu. How are you doing?
Most excellent.
Wonderful, awesome. Wonderful. Hey, listen, I thought of you guys tonight, and I do listen, and you've been doing a fantastic job this summer.
All right, thanks.
But I need some real help. I've got a lot of rain out here in western North Carolina, and to put it mildly, right? I'm not calling in to be a show off or anything like that. But I have a lot of rain.
I'm playing the world's smallest violin. You know? Our hearts bleed for you. But what's going on?
Well, I have to get rid of poison ivy that's coming up my trees, and I obviously I'm not going to put Roundup on it. What do I need to do?
You know, it's a good thing. I used to live back there with the poison ivy. That's so true. Do you get it? Do you get allergic to it? Are you allergic to it?
Oh, terribly, yeah. So
nasty.
I can put on a suit and pull it, but I was wondering if you thought maybe that's what I need to resort to, or should I
call somebody else? call some other sucker.
I have heard about like soap and vinegar, but other than that, I can't come up with anything.
What about a really heavy dose of horticulture oils?
Yeah, you know that might work.
Yeah.
Horticulture oils.
There's what's called dormant oils that you spray on fruit trees and stuff in the wintertime. And it smothers the scale and stuff. But instead of watering it down, throw it on full strength.
Oh, wow.
And it will seal the leaves might not like being covered in oil.
Oh, wow.
And that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
And, smothering.
That could, but she's got a lot of rain.
She got a rain.
It's going to float off. You know how oil does.
Well, Jeff in the control room says flamethrower, which you can think about when you have a lot of rain.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Burn it.
Yeah. No, you know what, though? You have to be really careful when you burn it, too, because if you get in the smoke, you can get it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And you can inhale it and get it in your lungs, and it's scary bad. How much do you have? Do you have a lot of it, or?
A fair amount. What concerns me is it's starting to grow up the tree.
Up the tree, yeah. And they do. They just strangle the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
wow.
Man. You know what? You should call somebody. There's...
You can call other people and, if you got somebody that can come and mow it down and put a thick mulch on it, cardboard, weed barrier, and just put lots of organic matter on it.
Okay. Fantastic. I may try the oil, and I'll let you know how that goes.
Yeah.
Okay, try.
Other than that, I'll resort.
Yeah, and other than that, suit up. This is not it's not an awful bad time right now, but the sap is running in it. Sometimes it's better to do it in the fall when it's more dormant and the sap is not.
Yeah.
It's not as toxic.
Yeah.
But boy, if you get it, just
Yeah, I'm lucky enough that I'm not. I don't.
I don't either.
Oh, really? You're not allergic to it?
No, I'm not.
It's not an allergy. It's something else with what doctors have told me. But we call it an allergy.
But we say allergic. Think about it that way.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Okay, Hope.
I appreciate the advice. Thank you.
Thank you, Hope. Good Thanks luck. For listening. Good luck with that.
Bye-bye.
Yep, bye. We have poison ivy here, too. But
down in the Gunnison Gorge.
Oh, my goodness.
In Dominguez Canyon. I actually have it on my property.
Oh, you do?
Down the creek, yeah.
I've seen it on the ditch.
It's actually expanding. This year it's not because it's dry, but it is expanding down there when there's moisture.
Oh, so it likes the moisture.
Yeah, it's not on dry land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that poison oak?
It's poison oak, not poison. In the west it's called poison oak. In the east it's poison ivy. And they're a little different.
Thing. Okay.
And I've seen poison oak in Northern California climbing up the big oak trees with trunks that are 3 and 4 inches around. It's just like ivy, but it's, so it is there.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's everywhere. That's tough. Boy, you get into that, and if you get it bad, you're in trouble.
Ooh, yeah, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, 527-486-81-866, KVNF now, and it's Kay from Montrose on the line with a question. Good evening, Kay.
Oh, good evening.
Hi.
I hope you guys have an answer for me. I have planted goji berry bushes, and the first one was planted 4 years ago, and then I planted another one the year after that, and then I planted one this year, and they look healthy, they're green and lush, and they have blossoms all over them, but they do not bear fruit.
Mm.
And so I'm just wondering if you have any ideas, because I have Googled it and researched it, and I can't find out anything.
I was thinking you were getting overrun with them, because that's what happens in some people's yards.
Yeah, well, I mean, they spread.
Goji berries.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But they don't fruit.
I'm not that familiar with gojis. Do they have male and female plants?
I was told no, because that was my first thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that that was not the case.
Well,
but it was also a reason why I, bought them multiple years.
Yeah, I suspect goji berries are from the Mongolian plain.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's not very hot up there.
That's what I was thinking, too.
And it's pretty hot down here this year.
Are they in the blazing sun?
Mm. Yeah, they have sun most of the day.
Yeah, and that would be my suspicion is just this year, because I have some friends on Redlands Mesa outside of Hotchkiss that have some, and there's no berries on them. I didn't think about it, but I've been through there, and there's no red berries. You would see them.
Right.
Do they normally bear fruit?
Yes, they bear fruit continuously. They're blooming and ripening and bearing fruit all at the same time.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, I envy that.
Yeah.
And you've
because
been...
Because it's been, it's been...
4 years.
4 years,
right?
For the first one. And,
yeah.
But maybe it's just been too hot?
I suspect it's too hot. This year.
Can you move those to some...
You can shade them.
Put a shade cloth over.
Yeah.
You can drop the temperature by 5 to 10 degrees, depending on the... that shade cloth is all rated to how much you want to drop the temperature and sunlight.
And what is this cloth?
It's just called shade cloth, and you can go to any garden center and get shade cloth.
Okay.
Or you can look it up online, greenhouse accessories.
Sure.
And look up shade cloth.
Okay. Hey, now that's the best information I've had so far, and it does make sense.
Okay.
All right.
Right. Give it a try.
Yeah.
I will. Thank you very much.
Right. Sure. Good luck, Kay.
That's
all right.
I
goji berries in western Colorado.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's hot out there.
Yeah.
Boy.
Oh, man.
I mean, some plants definitely, you can tell they're sunburned. They're just
tomatoes.
Like,
tomato plants don't like it when it's super hot. Everybody, you think you need a hot for a tomato? Nuh-uh.
Mm-mm. Well, same with beans. My pole beans, I see more blossoms laying on the ground than I do beans in the.
Oh, really? They like that cooler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't like above 95. Mm-hmm. Pole beans are. Dry beans, it's like 70 degrees, 65 degrees to about 95. And then actually it's the male part of the flower that dies in that heat. Now, I have some Anasazis from the desert southwest.
Sure.
And some topiaries. They're not going to have a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I have some Maine yellow eyes. Well, they're from Maine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not or so some, sure, some exactly. Jacob cattle trout. Don't ask me why they call them trout in there, but that's
probably because
Jacob cattle trout. That's John Jingle Jingerhammer Smith.
You know, but and the pintos will be fine because they're now just starting to bloom going into fall. So it's not, yeah. It's going to steadily. Over the next few weeks, cool.
Cool. It's going to cool down no matter what. By a few degrees,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is cooling, you
know,
just a bit.
Or you get, you know, cooler times. That was the one thing I was wondering about, you know, suggesting the shade cloth and stuff, is if they bloom all the time, surely there should be a time when they are cool enough to mm-hmm. set fruit.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But try it. I mean... Yeah.
That's an exciting stage to watch from having everything bloom to where's that first piece of fruit?
Yeah, it's like, well, it's not just...
I wonder if it's just a lack of pollinators.
And it could be pollinators, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you know...
I don't know how specific it is.
Mm-hmm. But, I've gone from, you know, weeding and thinning and watering to now it's a full blast harvest. You know,
yeah, right.
Carrots, garlic, the grains have all been harvested, small grains. I picked apricots today.
Yes, they're right here on the table.
Oh, they're gorgeous and delicious.
They're so good.
Raspberries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell us about this raspberry. Oh, that's, you have that's your typical red raspberry.
Yeah, these are Autumn Bliss, and they're primacane, which means you prune them down completely to the ground in the fall, and they come up and they start.
No mercy.
And then they come up and start blooming sometime in July and bearing. This year they're already bearing, but they're going to bear till frost.
And nice.
Anyways, they're always red. And I transplanted these last a year ago spring from the old bed because it was starting to die out and not produce so much. And lo and behold, there's two canes with yellow golden raspberries.
And I've had these, tart.
And they're tart. And I've had these raspberries for 15 years.
Right.
So where did these yellow ones come from?
They're gorgeous.
But there they are.
Isn't that bizarre? So if you're over at Phil and Willie's, there's a yellow alfalfa plant.
No kidding.
Yeah, I've seen a yellow.
In this purple field of alfalfa, here's this yellow plant.
I've seen that in other places.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
There's all kinds of things, like wasn't it the... praying mantis last week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was good fun.
The sacred praying mantis.
The white buffalo of praying mantis.
Yeah, I was out. Since I was sacred coming here this evening, I was home this afternoon, so I was watering, which is unusual, but I'm not watering now. So I was watering then, and I went to move the sprinkler, and here was the biggest, fattest toad sitting right underneath that sprinkler.
Perfect.
Yeah. It's just enjoying itself.
Yeah. Staying cool.
Mm-hmm.
Staying cool.
See, that's the thing. At this time of year, it just... It's kind of like the bugs have kind of caught up to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have crisis situations too much.
Yeah. Right.
God, it's just fascinating.
Yeah, uh-huh. Everything's sort of settled into what it is.
Into what it is. And it's like you were saying, it's just full on harvest. I have these beautiful yellow squash.
Mm-hmm.
They go from zero to fruit. And what has it been? Month?
Yeah.
I planted them late. I think it was real late.
You got
late.
Warm
you
soil.
You were kind
of
late this year on everything.
Yeah, I was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's turning out to be okay.
Right.
I'm going to run out of water, but.
That's okay on some of
those.
That's
okay. Yeah, I'll figure it
crops,
out.
Right?
You know, I'll start using the gray water in the sink, and
mm-hmm.
it's not my first rodeo, so I'll figure it out.
Going to have to, baby.
Yeah.
Right on. Right
well,
on.
One of the things I'm doing with the heat. Is and if I'm home, come home from working someplace else at 2 p.m, I turn the water on and just to cool the plants down, I take a hand fan spray and I put it in all the greens, all the lettuce, the kale, celery.
Mm-hmm.
Just
a nice little spray.
Just to cool them down.
Kind of
I'm not watering. I'm cooling.
Misting.
Yeah,
the peas.
As long as they're not already wilted, though.
Yeah.
If they're already on the ground, because, you know, somebody might get confused. If they're already wilted down, you don't want to water them.
No.
Because they're doing that to protect themselves.
Well,
yeah.
And
plus
you're just going to put water on them, and they're just going to lay on the ground. And they're
these are still standing up.
They can't stand back up, and they get all sad looking. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Had that happen.
Yeah. Been there, done that. Yeah.
Okay, 527-486-8186 KVNF now. Lance, the other thing you're doing is spraying kelp. How are you doing that?
Well,
what frequency is that?
That's every week or so, every two weeks. It's kelp I use as in the manure tea, compost tea, I use it there, but it's also used as a for plants under stress. And that either means cold weather or hot weather, or when they're in a producing fruit. So right now they're producing fruit and it's hot. So I'm spraying in it. I spray in the morning when it's cool because that's when those cells are open to absorb it into their leaves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lucky plants.
Yeah. So.
Well, there you have it. You know what? Doesn't anybody want to know about the hummingbird moths?
Oh, yes, because I've seen them all over my yard this week. Hummingbird and the moths.
I have gazillions of these. The sphinx moth, the tomato hornworm, and the tobacco hornworm.
Sphinx moth.
Yeah, and I don't know where they come from. I never see the worms on the plants.
Right,
but
I
get the little hummingbird moth flying around like crazy.
Yeah.
Bazillions. I don't know.
I like it.
So you have lots of those. I have lots of striped skinks.
See?
Right.
Lots of the lizards. Yeah. So if you've got those little guys flying around, put a lookout on your mateys, on your tomato and your peppers.
Yeah.
What do you mean, put a lookout?
Well, because when they're in their this stage, they don't bother anything when they're flying around. But when they're the worm, they're huge.
Tomato hornworms.
Yeah. So you'll have a beautiful plant 1 minute, and then the next morning you wake up and it's just all naked.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're the same color as the plant. It's so hard to find them.
They're green.
Right. I know what you mean. Yeah.
And sometimes I've seen brown ones, but I've seen the brown ones. I actually have seen brown ones on the potato plants.
And they, you know what? It says right here in the book, they go there too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So maybe they decide.
Tomato and potato.
And they can go on peppers as well. But, yeah, you want
tomato and potato as well.
Right. So you want to keep an eye out for those. If you've got
not know that.
Yeah,
excellent.
My plants are 6 feet high.
Wow. Your tomato plants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're huge. Oh, and I thinned them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about that, tomato plants at this time of the year. A lot of people don't have fruit on their tomato plants. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't
it's just
freak
too hot.
Out.
It's too hot.
Too hot.
It's just too hot. So, you know, just when the blossoms have died off, and if there's not a little matey under there, then just prune it, you know, just clip it off.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is to prune the plant down so that you get those big leaves off that aren't doing anything, and let the light in the air get in there, and you might find a worm at the same time, and then you can feed it to your chickens, and they'll be so... I can train my chickens to come when I call them. Oh, yeah. Get in there and go, girl. But anyway, just look around. Be on the lookout for those, because there's so many of these sphinx things around.
Uh-huh.
The hummingbird moths.
Yeah, something's going on.
They got to be somewhere. They're coming from somewhere.
Yeah. So. I wouldn't be surprised if they're on some of the weeds, like prickly lettuce.
You know, they just have to be.
Yeah, they got to be on some.
Because I never have them.
Yeah.
You know what else there's a real lack of this year? The cabbage worms.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I have two butterflies. I have two cabbage lopers. Isn't that what they're called? Lopers?
But we call worms.
And they're the ones that lay the eggs singly, white on the underside. And,
they're on the underside of your cabbage leaves.
Not much of that going on.
Yeah, no. I haven't. That's another one. And the wasps are happily doing something, eating somebody. So yeah.
I know. Don't see them hanging out too much, do you?
No,
I was moving a wild pile today.
Oh.
I was expecting to find that.
I tell you what happened. I was trimming my sage. Right, I got this one big sage plant, and the goal was to get it moved into the Rio Grande garden where that mess is, and I never did. So I was trimming it just now or last week, and there was a wasp nest right in it.
Yeah,
Ooh.
So they're there.
There they are. They're hanging out.
Yeah. They were hanging. Yeah, I missed it. And then I went and put, I said, note to self, do not put your hands into all this foliage without gloves on. Yeah.
Well, I was hedging a juniper hedge, tam juniper, Fitzers. And
oh, yeah.
That, wasps really like those.
Oh, because really, they're dry.
Yeah, and they're
hot thick. And thick.
Yeah, thick. And yeah. It's like, okay, keep an eye out here. Something flies out.
Yeah, right. Be ready to run.
But
yeah, it's just such an odd year.
It is. Yeah, yeah. Everything's strange.
Everything's off or on or not or something. It's just odd.
Sometimes it feels like one of those spring fall days. You know, like
it was cold the other night.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I was in my bed going, "Wait."
I had to close the window.
Really?
Really?
Just
cold air on my bald head doesn't.
We have to get you a stocking cap.
Yeah, the sleeping cap needs to come out.
Oh, look, yeah. See, I never have that problem. There's so much hair on my head, but I love it when it gets cold like that. I always have my down comforter right handy,
just in case, mm-hmm. even in the summer.
Yep, there's only been a few weeks this whole summer where I didn't use it at some point.
Yeah,
yeah, it's been fabulous.
We got. Let's just talk a little bit about what still can be planted.
Oh yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, let's do because we're getting to the end.
Yeah. There was just a friend called up, wanted to know what to plant for, if we could still plant or delay the planting because of the season. And root crops, radishes, round black Spanish radish, beets. Maybe the daikons. I would not wait too long because the days just simply get shorter.
Okay. So whether get we them have, in there.
Get them planted. I'm going to do my last planting next weekend of daikons. And I'll actually plant the spinach for the fall and stuff. So spinach and lettuce and mustard greens, cilantro, your favorite arugula.
Tell me no.
British, so fabulous.
You know, green onions.
Oh, God, the arugula. My row of arugula is scaring me. Yeah, It's that happy. And I thought about how much pesto the row would make, and I thought, wow, yeah. I'm in trouble. I mean, it's not gone from last year. Now I'm in trouble. Yeah. Give it away.
So anyways, you might get... if it does hold, you can get away with a later planting of greens of some sort, but the root crops, the radishes and things like that need to go in.
You know what else you might be able to squeak in? Because a member I had was trying to get my timing just right on the mm-hmm. cilantro. Well, I missed it. But I bet if you plant cilantro now, you can get something.
Oh, I'm going to. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And then it'll be just right for when you want to make the salsa.
Ooh, with
salsa,
the tomatoes come
with
on.
With the last of your
peppers come
tomatoes.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have these red skinny peppers that I got. They have a funny name. And they're fabulous.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. They're so good. Sweet.
Jim's red skinny somebody. Peppers?
Yeah. Jimmy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jimmy.
I have one of those plants, too. It's my first year of growing it, and they're just coming on now.
Yeah,
the little
gorgeous.
Red ones.
Yeah. They're awesome. I got them at Zephyros.
There you
fabulous,
go.
So.
Thank you, Zephyros,
yeah.
The local farm and garden.
What
all
else?
Right.
What else are we planting?
Well,
anything else?
We have time for a call, just if I could give the numbers, because people do forget. 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. Okay,
what?
Thank you.
What do you mean people forget?
Some people tune in
and
not at the very beginning of the show.
And
so
they don't know the telephone numbers?
No, sometimes you need a mental reminder.
They don't have them written on their refrigerator and
something
on the ceiling.
Pavlov's bell or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I
nice
mean,
ding, ding.
Toot, toot. Get them on.
Mustard greens, if you like those.
Oh, yes.
You still
probably
plant.
Turnips, you probably still plant those. I think the saying was the fall turnips the 24th of July. So we're still in
oh,
the
we're,
ballpark.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
We're close mm-hmm. enough.
Yeah, close
yeah,
enough.
So those kind
yeah,
of
and
things.
Even if they don't get all the way, you're
still
going to have fabulous
yeah,
greens
and stuff. The arugula.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could still plant some dill. If you can plant cilantro, you could probably still plant some
probably,
dill.
Probably, but the dill will go out in a frost and the cilantro won't.
No, the cilantro will.
Well, hang on there.
Yeah.
Which is a miracle because you think, oh, you know, those thin leaves, you would think they have no game. Man, they can take a frost.
What did Jan and Gunnison had them down to 18 degrees?
Oh,
really? They came back, yeah.
Wow. Wow, yeah. That's hardy.
Yes.
I tell you, they're severe, those guys. Uh-huh. They mean it when
they
show
up. You probably
get
some Finocchio in the ground still.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to plant some more parsley. Mm-hmm.
What's going on with your parsley now?
Oh, man.
What?
Well, I have these two big pots, right? And so the one of them is going to seed, so I can have more parsley seed, right? And the other one I planted, and it's doesn't get quite as much sun.
Yeah, just not.
And it's just not happy. Yeah. It's just not as happy as the other one was. So I think I'll yank the seeds because I found out I already have a lot, and plant some more. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Throw it in there.
Right. Yeah.
I planted some daikons early just to see, and, you know, every day I'm pulling two more out that have gone to seed.
Yeah.
They just don't like the heat.
They mm-hmm. just don't like the heat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how you figure it out, though.
Yeah. Trying it.
Yeah.
Right. It is small batches, and they're still somewhat edible. Once you get closer to the stem where the greens come out, then it gets a little woody there, but the rest mm-hmm. of it's still edible.
Great.
That's the only problem with radishes and the heat they get, that you can't eat them.
Yeah.
You need a chainsaw. Ring,
nin, 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 nin. A lot of toothpicks.
I'll fix you.
Oh, I wanted to mention something about the squash vine borers.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's such a good idea.
For whatever reasons, this happens about every 5 years, I have a problem with squash vine borers, which is you go out there, the plants are great, and the next day it's totally wilted. And the adult lays its eggs, and the larvae go into the stem of the squash vine, right at the base of the ground. And so I've been spraying with this product that has spinosad in it, which is supposed to be good for that, but it doesn't
get them because they're inside.
They're inside. Yeah. So what the other solution is, and I think next year I'll do it right off the bat, is you wrap that stem in aluminum foil.
I love stuff like that.
And aluminum foil, that insect obviously can't go through it.
Right.
And so that's what I had put a little dirt to keep it in place. And so all my stems are and it wasn't touching the delicatas. It was doing the Morgulds, the Maximas. The delicatas of Pepo. Yeah, but it was doing the Maximas.
So it was doing the spaghetti squash and the pumpkins?
Oh, those are Pepos.
Those are Pepos.
Yeah, no, it was doing Maxes. It was the Morgulds, the, let's say, Buttercups, Marina de Chioggias, these other varieties. Yeah, huh. So anyways.
All right, great tip.
It's one way to, you know, unlike next year, I'm not going to lose, you know, six vines before I figure it out.
The tinfoil.
Oh, man, I hate it when you lose a plant like that.
Yeah.
It just breaks your heart,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Never mind that you don't get anything to eat. You just, it died off.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It is kind of. You feel like a failure.
Yeah. We feel like you let it down, you know?
Right.
Oh, man,
right.
I'm sorry, dude. Yeah. You look at you're a wreck, you know? and then on the other hand, you get into that slash and bash mode that I get into where I just go, you're out of here.
Yeah.
You got to go.
Slash and bash. That's the first time I've heard that combo.
Yeah. Sometimes it gets like, well, that happened to my pear tree.
Yeah.
It's butched.
Oh, yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Let's talk about that next week because the fruit is coming on. So
yes.
Lots more to talk about. That would be next Tuesday at 6:30.
Same
as
time,
the worm
same
turns.
Channel.
Same story.
No, different story.
Different story. But it's One Woman's Perspective coming up next. And thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
Good night, everybody.
Have a good evening.
Pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're out to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, low little.